Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, July 17th, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Carlton Fire in Methow Valley blows up, sending smoke across the region. Washington Liquor Control Board outlaws recreational cannabis candies, but says brownies and cookies are okay. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Fire crew spokesperson Jacob McCann said this afternoon the fast-growing 28-square-mile Carlton complex of fires in the Methow Valley in central Washington has burned at least two homes. McCann told the Associated Press there were unconfirmed reports another eight homes had burned. Authorities have ordered 900 people near the fire to evacuate, and a dusting of ash was falling over the mountain town of Leavenworth this afternoon. The plume from the blaze has risen to 25,000 feet, visible for miles around. Police have closed 35 miles of U.S. Highway 2 between Leavenworth and Stevens Pass due to the blaze. The fire is being fanned in dense timber by 30-mile-per-hour winds. The Carlton complex was 0% contained as of this afternoon. About 1,000 firefighters are working on three major blazes in the area. One is the state's largest, the Mills Canyon Fire near Entiat, which has scorched 35 square miles and is 40% contained. The third fire is the Chewakum Creek Fire, which has burned 8 square miles since it was discovered Tuesday morning. With Lieutenant Governor Brad Owens' declaration of a fire emergency yesterday for central and eastern Washington, the Federal Aviation Administration has given the State Department of Natural Resources permission to deploy surveillance drones to monitor the fires. So far, no drones have been used. Former Spokane Mayor Mary Verner, who is now a Department of Natural Resources deputy supervisor, told the Spokesman Review website the FAA approval only allows the use of a single drone from taking video of wildfires and requires the state to notify them in advance of each use and make sure the airspace is clear of other planes typically used in fighting fires. The drone is a Scan Eagle model with a 10-foot wingspan, which can travel up to 92 miles per hour. Scan Eagles are manufactured by Boeing subsidiary Insitu. The state of emergency also means the state can mobilize the Washington National Guard, and already the Guard has deployed two helicopters on the Carlton complex. The National Weather Service has imposed an air quality alert for most of central and eastern Washington. Weather forecaster Ellie Kelch told the Spokesman Review website, "The smoke will persist in the air for several days. The air quality at Spokane dropped to moderate this afternoon, meaning the air is unhealthy for people who already have health problems. Forecasters recommend reducing strenuous outdoor activities or staying indoors. A red flag fire danger alert is in effect throughout the inland northwest through 11 p.m. tonight. A Type 2 Incident Command team has set up at the White Bird Rodeo Grounds to fight a 6,400-acre fire in Hell's Canyon near Pittsburgh Landing. The fire is burning in dry grass and timber between Jones Creek and Big Canyon Creek on the Idaho side of the Snake River. Fire officials expect high temperatures and low humidity to exacerbate the fire in the next few days. The Umatilla and Wallawa-Whitman National Forests have implemented fire restrictions due to the severe fire risk in the area. Smoking is allowed only in the two forests in closed vehicles and developed campgrounds. Chainsaw use is restricted to between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. Woodcutters must have axes, shovels, and fire extinguishers with them and are required to stay in the area for an hour after they have finished working to watch for possible fires. Off-road travel is also prohibited in the Umatilla and Wallawa-Whitman forests, as well as travel on roads and trails with standing grass. The Washington Liquor Control Board has decided it will not allow recreational cannabis stores to sell marijuana-infused edibles that look like candy. Products that are common in the state's medical marijuana dispensaries. In rules released yesterday, the board said recreational stores can sell cannabis-infused cookies and brownies, providing the packaging has information about the number of doses in the package. The rules also say kitchens producing edibles must be inspected and the food items must be tested for potency. The rules say edible products must have the same amount of THC throughout the product. So far, about two dozen recreational cannabis retail stores have opened in Washington, and so far, they are all selling only leaf marijuana. The Liquor Control Board has previously approved the sale of hashish and hash oil, which also must be rigorously tested. Fire officials in Boise County say they don't expect the Whiskey Complex fire to be contained until July 30th. The fire is now 1.5 miles away from the tiny community of Pioneerville and is moving towards it. More than 300 firefighters are building fire lines between the fire to the north and Pioneerville to the south. Pioneerville is under a Level 2 voluntary evacuation order. The Bonner County Sheriff's Office has released the names of the three Sandpoint police officers who were dispatched to Bonner General Hospital July 8th, where they shot and killed 35-year-old Jeanette Riley. The Sandpoint City police officers were Skylar Ziegler, Mike Valenzuela, and Garrett Johnson. According to details released by the Bonner County Sheriff's Office today, Riley's husband brought Riley to the hospital and told hospital staff his wife was exhibiting erratic, aggressive behavior and was armed with a knife. Police arrived and closed in on a white Chevy Astro van parked in the street in front of the emergency entrance. The sheriff's office said Jeanette Riley immediately exited the van. She was armed with a knife and engaged the officers. Riley was non-compliant, refused to stop her approach, and refused to drop the knife. The report says two of the officers shot a total of five shots at Riley a minute later. The report says after officers secured the knife, they began life-saving measures and nearby emergency and medical staff were summoned and took Riley to the emergency room where she died. The report does not say how close Riley was to the officers when she was shot. The Washington Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council announced Tuesday it has found no zoning obstacles to the construction of a proposed oil terminal at the Port of Vancouver. The City of Vancouver opposes the construction of the terminal, which would accept up to 380,000 barrels of crude oil by rail per day and load it onto tankers. The council did not make a recommendation about the project itself. After it does so, Governor Jay Inslee will make the final decision. The state of Washington is reporting the lowest unemployment rate in 6 years. Figures from the state's Employment Security Department show a jobless rate of 5.8% in June, down from 6.1% in May. Department economist Paul Turek said in a statement, the state's economy is picking up momentum and the near-term job outlook is good. The most new jobs were created in health services and education, followed by retail, trade, and leisure. Jobs were lost in government, construction, and manufacturing. Of the estimated 201,000 people looking for work in the state, 70,000 have claimed unemployment benefits. A former University of Idaho student lost an appeal of a 2013 conviction for raping a woman at a UI fraternity event in October 2012. 21-year-old Michael Viestra had been sentenced by 2nd District Court Judge Carl Carrick to serve 5 to 15 years in prison. The judges hearing the appeal noted in their decision, Carrick used proper discretion in the sentencing. Viestra had entered into plea deals for allegations of similar crimes in the past and refused to participate in court-ordered psychosexual evaluations prior to the sentencing. The proposed Moscow City budget, slated to take effect October 1st, includes a property tax hike brought about by collecting foregone taxes in order to provide the money to keep two police officers on the payroll. State law permits municipalities to increase property taxes up to 3% each year. A municipality can choose not to levy the tax on property owners, to forego it, while reserving the right to collect the tax at a later date. That's what the draft budget proposes to do. The increase will mean an owner of a $200,000 home will pay approximately $45 in additional taxes. City Supervisor Gary Riedner told the Lewiston Tribune, collecting $154,365 in foregone taxes will pay for two police officer positions, which had been funded for 3 years by a federal community-oriented policing services grant. That would still leave nearly $325,000 in uncollected foregone taxes. At the budget workshop Monday, Councilmembers Wayne Krause and Dan Karskalin expressed regret for the tax increase, but said they didn't see a way to take the money from another area of the budget without creating a shortage. Property taxes contribute less than 9% of the total city revenue. There will be a public hearing on the proposed budget at the council's regular meeting Monday, August 18th at 7 p.m. at City Hall. A public records request by the Coeur d'Alene Press indicates opposition from Northern Idaho lawmakers prevented the establishment of a mental health crisis center in Coeur d'Alene, even though Coeur d'Alene received a higher score in the ranking of suitable sites than Idaho Falls, which was selected for the center. The Idaho Department of Health and Welfare Committee, who selected the site, was also required to take legislative support into consideration, and most of the 20 votes in the legislature opposing the bill establishing the center came from Northern Idaho and the Boise area. Boise was also under consideration as a possible site. Governor C.L. Butch Otter's spokesperson John Hannion told the Coeur d'Alene Press, "Part of the formula for success is continued financial support, which will require having local legislative champions. The center is a test project for a state-sponsored safety net for mentally ill people at risk of landing in hospitals or jails. Information collected during the project will be used to determine the feasibility of establishing other centers across the state." The American Civil Liberties Union is calling for Boise State University to amend its campus events policies. ACLU of Idaho legal director Richard Epping said in a letter, "The university's discretion in deciding what types of events should be charged fees for extra security is overly broad and constitutes a violation of the First Amendment." When Boise State University charged the group Young Americans for Liberty an extra security fee when they brought gun rights advocate Dick Heller to speak on campus, the Idaho Freedom Foundation backed the group's objection to the fee and threatened a lawsuit if the university did not change its policy. Prior to the event, Heller had made statements encouraging gun owners to bring their weapons to the event, prompting the fee action by BSU. BSU spokesperson Greg Hahn said the university is considering the ACLU's letter. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, there will be areas of smoke tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. and a low of 51. West winds 5 to 15, gusts of 25. Areas of smoke tomorrow, tomorrow night, and Saturday before noon. Otherwise, sunny tomorrow, high 83. West winds 5 to 15, gusts of 20. Low 51 Friday night, mostly clear. West winds 5 to 15, gusts to 20, and mostly sunny Saturday, high 81. West winds 5 to 15, gusts up to 20. Partly cloudy Saturday night, low 53. West winds 10 to 20, gusts to 25. And mostly sunny Sunday and Monday, highs around 79. Currently, fair skies, 90 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to respond to the letter KRFP sent out in late June, asking for funds. You can also read the letter on the Radio Free Moscow website. You can send donations to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. We've got Talk Nation Radio coming up next, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Alan Solon's in at 7:30 to play jazz. And then we got Heavy Rock with Confinement Loaf at 9 p.m. Hour of Slack at 11, Pop Defect, or Hour of Slack at midnight, Pop Defect Radio at 1 a.m. Entertainment, information, music, and all sorts of programming through the evening here at KRFP Moscow. Nancy Casey assisted with tonight's newscast. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.